No role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share four decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, I want to talk about a LinkedIn post that I saw, and I'll keep the person anonymous because I didn't reach out to ask if I could use this content. But I was reading this post, and they were talking about a leader they had and how that leader performed for them during the pandemic in terms of the support they got and the way that they felt like that leader supported them and made sure that they had everything they needed. They didn't feel like they were, you know, choosing between safety and work and personal life and all these things. And I thought that's really great. I like that. It struck me as uncommon. And I didn't know why it struck me as uncommon. And so I started thinking about it a little bit. And then I realized that usually when I see people praising, when they see people giving out praise on LinkedIn or the things, they're praising the company and not the individual leader. And so it stuck with me, and I wanted to ask you about this. When you're seeing these things, when you see people give out praise, do you see the same thing? Do you see a lot of praise going to individual leaders, or do you see praise going to companies, and why?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's as far as LinkedIn posts go, I see a little bit of both. In as far as dialogue goes and conversations that we've had and even things like in Clubhouse, you know, I find myself quite often doing exactly what you were talking about, which is somebody says, oh, this is what I love about this company. And I say, well, who in the company? And they're like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, like who's making you feel that way? Because like the company logo didn't do anything. The company building didn't praise you or give you recognition or give you promotion. Like the leaders of the organization did something. A leader from that company did something for you.
Right.
And they go like, oh, well, yeah, well, it was so-and-so. And I said, well, like, let's give them their flowers. Like, let's recognize that leader because sometimes it's really easy for us to want to paint with a broad brush and talk about organizations and companies and give them the praise for the work that an individual leader has done or a collection of leaders. You know, like it's not, sometimes it's not just a CEO of a company, but the executive team or the board of directors. Like there are individual people making decisions to impact, in this example, you know, the way in which they take care of their people during, you know, like COVID and shutdown. And, you know, those decisions are made by individuals, not a company, not a logo, but an actual person or people that are discussing this and saying, what should we do in this situation? And so I think that, you know, it's like we spend a lot of time seeing the big articles. It's like, here's the top 50 companies to work for.
Right.
And then there's a lot of these things that they say that the company does really well. And I'm always skimming the article like, well, who? You know, like was it the CEO? Like who's actually role modeling this? Who is setting the tone for this type of culture where people would feel so great about working for that organization? So I think that that's something that I know I do my best to correct people when they say it because I really want them to think about the impact that leaders have and leadership has and not just necessarily the organization, because we can all, you know, share. Of course, companies have both. Companies have fantastically great leaders who really care about their people and work on their development. And then companies that are, you know, that you would say are maybe good companies also have leaders that are disengaged and they're not so much into developing their people. So that's kind of what I see. That's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, I think this is – If you think about it, it's obvious. Meaning, there's been a long-standing adage that nobody listening right now hasn't heard this: that people don't leave companies, people leave leaders. You know, that we've been saying that for a decade, and it's true, and we all agree with that. So then, why isn't it natural to say the opposite is true too? People don't stay with companies; they stay with leaders, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the exact same thing. I look at here's my parenting reference here. If you're a parent, you know what a great school's rating is. You know what it is to say to look at the rating of your kid's school on this great school's website, which is kind of like a universally accepted. Though I think they get, you know, more credibility than they deserve. There's more that goes into it than a number, but there is a number and it does matter. And these great school ratings for the different schools, they fluctuate. They go up and they go down. Not often, but over a period of several years. And so when my wife and I bought our house, we looked at what the great school's rating of the high school was that our kids would eventually be going to. And at the time, my kids were 4 and 2. Now, it was short-sighted to do that that far in advance, but the grade school's rating of the high school we were zoned for was a 10. And we're like, oh, that's amazing. This is a great area. We got to be in it. And in the 5 or 6 years we've been here, it's dropped to a 7, you know? And so we're thinking, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Like, well, first of all, my kids are still 6 years away from high school to begin with, so I'm not worried about it yet. But the fact that it changed is because the people changed, right? So, and not just the administrators or the teachers, but the parents, because the parental involvement in the school in terms of like holding people accountable and being involved and volunteering that frees up resources to do other things. That's what makes a school great, obviously. And people, that's an obvious thing to say, but then it stands to reason that if people move, or if people grow up and they age out of that school and then new people come in, if those people don't have the same level of engagement, then the engagement's going to drop. Or if people come in that have a high level of engagement, it's going to rise. It's the exact same thing with any company or any team. If the leadership changes, it could be a change for the better, or it could be a change for the worse. But nothing is stagnant in that. Nothing will stay the same forever. It's why the 50 best companies to work for, you see some movement. You know, the top 10 tends to kind of stay there, but number one isn't always number one, because at the end of the day, if you help make a company that's fantastic or everybody wants to work there, it stands to reason that you'd be able to use that to springboard into something bigger and better for yourself. Then you go into a different organization, somebody fills your place, and unless the culture is so strong to where that person who gets moved up is able to carry on in that legacy, you're going to have some change. You're going to have some upheaval, and that could change into, you know, the worse in terms of the culture and the experience for the employees. But when you talk about doing that, those individual leaders are doing things. What are they doing that is making it a great place or not a great place? And there's no shortage of people out there who, when their leader's not doing something right, it's, oh, Lorenzo, you know, wouldn't do this for me or wouldn't do that for me. No one says, my company wouldn't do this for me. They know it's you, Lorenzo, who didn't do this for them or who made them do this or that. Very easy to put that tie in there. Much harder to do it when you're talking about the positive things. And I don't know why that is. I don't know why we don't knee-jerk think, oh, I got this because Lorenzo is a good leader. Why I would bypass you and assign it to the organization we work for instead. I don't know what part of human nature that is, but we need to change it. We need to get better at doing this for the individual leaders, because I don't think a lot of leaders know when they're doing right.
Yeah, well, or they don't get recognized when they're doing right. You know what I mean? I think that if you have a very clear definition of leadership and you know kind of how you approach the work and how people feel as a result of that, then you might know that you're down the right path. But when people provide recognition, like your people and the people that you impact every day, when they come up to you and they say, like, they appreciate your leadership and here's exactly why, I think it does two things. Number one, it makes sure that leader stays focused on the task at hand and continues to do those same types of things over time. And number two, it allows a person to have the perspective and the understanding of what it's like to work with leaders that they deem as good or great. And so I think one of the things that happens is people may lack perspective in working for multiple leaders or multiple organizations where they don't really have a frame of reference on what it feels like to work for a leader that shows up for them in a way that is more helpful, more impactful, more inspiring. They only just see the environment that they're in. And you know, we see that from time to time where it's kind of like, if this is your first job per se, or maybe a second job or a job where you are looking to really grow and develop, and, you know, within your life or your journey, and you've never worked in an environment where you've worked for or worked with a disengaged leader or somebody that is just kind of there and treats you like a cog in the wheel of the system, then you just don't know any better. And you might just assume that, like, all leaders are like this, and this is the expectation of leadership. And therefore, for you, that's the bar. And so, you know, I think of when I go to a restaurant and I want to go out to eat, and, like, there's certain things that I would expect to happen, like, you know, if I made a reservation, like, greet me when I get there. Let me know that you have my reservation. Remind me what time it is so that you and I both know that we have a mutual agreement on what time I'm supposed to be sitting down. And then sit me down. And then, you know, like, engage with me. And, like, I have all these expectations of what's supposed to happen when I go out to eat. And if a little bit something nice happens, or they're really good with refilling drinks, I kind of note that. And I'm like, you know, when I get to the part of making the tip, you know, maybe I'll think about that as I'm helping. But I don't make a big deal about it. I don't pull the hostess or I don't pull the wait staff, or I don't say, hey, I need to speak to the cook in the back of the kitchen. Bring him out right now, or bring her out right now, so I can tell them, fantastic job. My steak was amazing. You know, like right. Now go back, right? Like,
but if it was overcooked, you'd tell them.
I send it back. Exactly, right? Like I would have an opinion if it didn't meet my basic expectation. I would feel a certain way. I would demand to talk to somebody. I would be like, what do you mean you lost my reservation? Like, these are all things that would happen where I would want to be heard and I would want to voice my opinion because my bar of expectation hadn't been met, nor had it had a chance to be exceeded. I think it's the same thing when it comes to leaders and people's perception of leaders and the organization, is that if my expectation is that as a leader that you're there, that you answer my questions, that you help me, or that you want, you know, to help me get trained. Like, when you go through doing those things, I just expect that to happen. And so I'm not going to go out of my way to recognize that. But I might not have the perspective that doesn't happen everywhere, and that these are things that aren't normal necessarily in other businesses. So I just share that because I think that it's important that when we run across great leaders, that we give them their flowers, that we say thank you, that we make sure they are well aware of how we feel about them and their leadership. Because if we are truly going to work together as a workforce to make better leaders, we have to highlight those leaders and let them know how we feel about them. To make sure that they continue that work and that legacy, and that other leaders can see that example and will want to continue that level of leadership and those behaviors.
Yeah, I wonder if part of this is because of how uncommon it is. Meaning, if out of 10 restaurants you went to, if you had a 90% chance of your expectations not being met. You know, if that was just kind of like, well, restaurant culture is such that it's a crapshoot. You know, like you get there, I have a reservation at 7 o'clock. Oh, we don't have it. Oh, sorry, honey. Yeah, I know I made the reservation, but they don't have it. I guess we go home. Like if it was so common that that's how people had to deal with it in their lives, then when the 1 out of 10 that was amazing, or the 1 out of 10 who just did what they were supposed to do, when that happened, that would be in your mind. You would call that out as, wow, this is incredible. It's like, If your expectation is set by your own personal experience, and so if your own personal experience, whatever that is, has led you to believe that what you should be able to expect out of your leaders is X, whatever this is, and when you're getting those things, it's, I think, not knee-jerk to go in and recognize it, right? So if my leaders are doing what I think is the bare minimum is the wrong word, but if they're doing what I think is their job as a leader, which is to develop me, is to tell me candidly when I'm making a mistake and to give me honest feedback about that, to do that in the context of what will help open doors for me, not just how to make their life easier. If they are recognizing where I want to be short-term and long-term and telling me what I need to do to get there, not doing it for me, but making sure I'm clear on what I need to do, to me, that's the price of admission of a leader. And there are a lot of leaders who don't do that. I hope we get to a place where the majority of leaders do, but you and I both know the reason we started this podcast is because we have a shortage of great leaders. And it's amazing that we say great leaders when we're really, what we're talking about is just leaders, people who actually take on the role of a leader. And so when I do see that out of a person, when I do see that out of a leader doing those things, it can be very easy for me to just be like, well, I mean, do they want a cookie? Like, that's what they're supposed to do. But in the end of the day, it takes courage to do that if you are surrounded by others who are not doing that. It takes courage to lead in that way if you're surrounded by leaders who don't know how to lead and may find your leadership style threatening if it's done really, really well. And I know leaders who have been in situations where they don't keep it up. They deteriorate over time and they end up leaving an organization. And I think back in hindsight, I wonder if that leader would have stuck to it longer, had stayed with it, and would have kept doing what they were doing, if weekly or daily or monthly or however it is, somebody came up to them and said, I just want to let you know, I can see how this is difficult for you sometimes in what you're doing, but I want you to know that you have made my experience here better because of what you have done for me personally, and I want you to know that I value that. I really, really value that, and I thank you for that. Please keep it up. Please don't stop doing what you're doing. Other people can benefit from it too. I mean, if someone said that to me, it would be like, it's like spinach to Popeye, man. Like, just kind of like, all right, I can do this. I can get through whatever the hurdles and the roadblocks are that might wear me down or make me think that I'm fighting a losing battle. Because sometimes leaders do feel like they're fighting a losing battle.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. And I was going to ask you to kind of say, like, you know, has there been a time where you have kind of given flowers to a leader? And what did that sound like? Because that can be intimidating in itself. You know, like it's a balance. You want people to feel appreciated, but you also don't want to feel like, I think the initial gut reaction is like, well, I don't want to be like a brown noser. I don't want to like go tell my boss, like, I appreciate, like what's the, because it's so uncommon, there must be something behind this. Like like it's such a weird thing, and it's so sad to say that, but it's true, is that most people would be like, well, I would tell them, but then I don't want to feel like I'm kissing up,
right?
And it's like, but right, because like that's just how we look at it from a society standpoint. So like, you know, when you think about that, and do you have an example of having given one of your leaders, you know, recognition in that way?
Sure, yeah. So I think that the way to make it so that it doesn't come off like you're brown nosing or kissing up is to make that feedback, to make that feedback around what they're doing well very, very specific to the action they did in that moment. You know, so it's not, hey, I just want to let you know that I think you're a great leader, you know? There's no way that doesn't come off as kissing up. There's no way. It's not, even if you don't mean it as that way, it'll come off that way. But if you say, hey, I want to let you know, Lorenzo, that, you know, I read the PowerPoint that we had to deliver in this meeting beforehand, and I was like rolling my eyes thinking, really, this is what the company's expecting us to deliver? This is what they're expecting us to do? And I didn't know, like, I was already cynical going into it, but the way you delivered it, in terms of like when you said that, hey, you know what, I don't have all the answers in this situation, I'm reading this and there's a part of this I understand, but there's a part of it I don't yet. I'm gonna seek to get more clarity on this, but I want to make sure that if you have questions about this like I do, come to me and we'll figure it out together. I mean, that just made me think like, oh, Lorenzo's not going by the company byline and regurgitating what he was told to say. He actually brought a humanistic element to it, and I want to let you know that I appreciate that when you did that. So it has to be specific about the element that you are recognizing as an element of good leadership, about that, and not about leadership as a whole. I think if you go that route, it can be a very easy thing to do. But one of the reasons that I think I'm not knee-jerk to do this often, and I look back at here's another parenting reference, but the opposite way. When I was growing up, if I did well on a test in school, and my mom was very quick, like, oh my gosh, it's amazing, great job, you know, my dad would be like, oh, good job. And then go back to whatever it was he was doing. And he articulated later on in life to me that he was worried that I would get complacent, that he didn't want to, you know, give me too much praise on something that he believed was something that's my job to do, was to do well, was to study and do well on tests. You know, that was my job. And so he didn't want me to get complacent. And in my mind, that would never have made me complacent. It would have given me, you know, kind of the emotional kick that I needed to do well again, because I want more of that. Whatever that praise was that I got, I want more. So I'm going to try to do more of whatever it was that got me the praise. And I think that's part of human nature, is that we have a hesitancy to give praise when we are still in the moment of that thing, because we don't want the person to dial it back. We don't want the person to think, okay, my work here is done. I can turn it down a little bit because I've gotten the praise that I need. As a person who on the receiving end of praise, that will never happen. I would never dial it back because of getting praise. But for some reason, I think we think others will when we give them praise. And so that's why I think that's part of why we don't necessarily go to the let's give leaders some praise.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 minute hack. But first, a few words from our sponsors.
The 1 minute hack.
All right, for this episode's 1 minute hack, here's what I want you to do. Get out your pen and paper, and I want you to write down the names of some leaders that you think were great at your own growth and development over the years. Hopefully, there's somebody currently, but if not, it's fine if it's someone who's been in the past. Write down who they are and write down what they did specifically, not their traits or their personality style, what they did in aggregate, but write down a specific thing that they did. And then in the next 2 weeks, I want you to reach out to them and tell them that. Either it's LinkedIn or email or in person if you currently still work in the same organization as they do. Tell them that. Tell them what they did for you specifically and help them get the praise they need in order to continue doing it for others. Because even if you don't report to them anymore, other people are. The only way that we're going to get better at making sure our leaders understand how valued they are when they do well is to make sure they understand when they're doing it well, is to give them the praise when they deserve it. Because there's no shortage of the feedback they get when they're not doing what they should be doing. And no one can go through life doing their job only being told when they don't do well. They need to be told when they are doing well as well.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.